Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios on a bench on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Mavi and Carver High. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. If you want to get the best college and pro plays in handicapping all season long, everybody knows what Pharrell does. I just hit winners and make people fat stacks. PharrellOnTheBench.com is the best because it's the cheapest. It's that simple. Cheapest picks. All the handicappers in Vegas are ripping you off. They're lying and stealing from you. And mine is just cheap and fat, and everybody digs it because I kick ass and take names. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up. Trust me, you'll love it. So here we go. They have the list of dates here when they'll release the college football playoff rankings, right? Those are the only ones that matter. All these, you know, college coaches poll and AP poll every week are, bottom line, they're just meaningless, right? They are absolutely meaningless. So what we'll do is every week we'll give you those rankings because they're meaningless. And then Tuesday, November 5th, they'll do it. At 9 to 9:30 Eastern, then the 12th, 7 to 8 Eastern, the 19th, the 26th, all those at 7, December 3rd, and then the final one, Sunday, December 8th, at noon Eastern, noon to 4, they're going to be doing the college playoff polls, and the semis will be on Saturday, December 28th at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta and the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. The winners will meet in the national championship game on Monday, January 13th in New Orleans at the Superdome. There you go. It's all happening. And then how about this? Next week, Canes Gators on Saturday, right? That's the kickoff to the college football season. I think that is that the very first game? It has to be. It's next Saturday at 7 p.m. And then there's other games, Arizona and Hawaii. And then it starts really getting interesting when we're in Vegas. We'll be in Vegas on August 26th through the 31st at our favorite place, the D Casino, downtown in downtown Las Vegas near the Event Center, Fremont Street. The D's right there. It's kick-ass. Check it out, Circus Sports, the D. We're all excited to go back and do the show. Thursday, there'll be a bunch of college football games, including Albany and Central Michigan, UCLA and Cincinnati. I think it's the game of the night. Cincinnati's favored there. There's other games that night, Central Arkansas, Western Kentucky, and, you know, Central Florida plays that night against FAMU. And then how about Georgia Tech and Clemson also Thursday night, the 29th. That one's at Death Valley, FIU and Tulane that night. Texas State and Texas A&M at Kyle Field that night. And it just never ends. Northern Colorado and San Jose State, Kent State, Arizona State also that Thursday night. Utah and BYU, we'll find out how good Utah is that night. And then Friday night, we're live from Vegas. And there's even more. Tulsa and Michigan State, Wisconsin and South Florida. Carver High had mentioned the Bulls before of South Florida. UMass and Rutgers play Friday night. Utah State and Wake in Winston-Salem. How about Purdue at Nevada? That one's in Reno. And then Colorado State, Colorado's that Friday night as well at 10 Eastern. Oklahoma State and Oregon State in Corvallis that Friday night. And then Saturday, just slews of college football games on the 31st. Indiana and Ball State, Mississippi State and Louisiana, Toledo at Kentucky, Florida Atlantic at Ohio State, where they're going to get spanked and called Charlie, Ole Miss and Memphis in Memphis, Nebraska hosts South Alabama, tough opener for the Huskers. Northern Iowa and Iowa State in Ames, Akron and Illinois, Indiana State's at Kansas. We'll see how Les Miles does in Lawrence. Good luck. Rhode Island and Ohio. I'm just looking at some of the other games. We'll see how good Washington is. They take on Eastern Washington that day, Saturday the 31st. And how about Duke and Alabama? How do you think Duke's going to do down in Tuscaloosa? Going to pull off the big upset over the Tide? Oh, the game's in Atlanta. There you go.
Doesn't really matter where the game is, to be quite
honest.
They
can play the game out in front of the building here. South Carolina and North Carolina. Mack Brown debuts at home. They're 7.5-point dogs against the Gamecocks. Idaho's at Penn State. Georgia State's at Tennessee. Northwestern at Stanford. That's a decent game right there, right? At 4 o'clock on Saturday out in Palo Alto. Vatek and BC as well. Syracuse taking on Liberty on the road, the Christian school. That should be, you think there'll be any foul language at that game? In the trenches?
Probably not.
Probably not. Davis against Cal. I'm just looking at some of the other games. Boise and Florida State at night, 7 o'clock. I think that one's in Tallahassee. Monmouth and Western Michigan. I mean, these games, Virginia and Pitt. How about that one to start the season in Pittsburgh? Middle Tennessee at the Big House against Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines. Georgia at Vandy. I mean, is this fantastic or what? I can't get enough of it. Oregon and Auburn. How about them apples? 7:30 Eastern on ABC, Oregon and Auburn to kick it off. Bring it on. Louisiana Tech and Texas that night on Saturday. How about this one? Fresno and USC. How about New Mexico State and Pullman against Washington State? Mike Leach. Houston and Dana Holgorsen taking on the Sooners in Norman, Carver High. How do you think Dana Holgorsen will do in his first big game?
Get beat down.
Beat down time. And then Notre Dame at Louisville. How do you think that one's on Monday, September 2nd, Labor Day night. I think we're in here for a little Irish Louisville game down at Papa John's. Isn't that where they play?
Yep, they should handle them. Not a good Louisville.
Should be able to handle their business.
Yeah.
What do you think of that fantastic array of college football games that I mentioned, plus some that I didn't?
It's good. It's good to get going. It's just good to have football back. We're almost there.
So there you go. Two games next Saturday, Miami and Florida and Arizona and Hawaii. You think Kevin Sumlin will be able to handle the rainbows on the road in Oahu? Or will they be caught up in all of that Waikiki?
They'll take care of business.
Mahalo, shake it up. Bagalulu, shake it up. Shake it up. We're on in Honolulu. Good evening, Honolulu. I wish I was there and not here, to be honest with you. Then again, who doesn't? Mafia, you're telling me all kinds of exciting things are happening here on Monday night on the show? Can we look ahead that far based on our lack of in-depth, you know, ability to look past 5 minutes from now?
We can, if you like. Allegedly, both are confirmed, so it's going to be a big Hollywood night here on Monday night, apparently.
Hollywood night.
Because we got, we were just talking about it literally off-air a couple nights ago. Your boy Ben Robson, who plays Craig on Animal Kingdom, is supposed to be coming on before the season finale on Tuesday night.
I just wanted to say that 34C and all of her friends want to sleep with him.
A lot of women do. A lot of women do. We talk a little bit of sports with him, too. A big Newcastle fan and I believe a Thunder fan from his tweets. Talking a lot about
he's like Gunner. Adams
and about Russell Westbrook in the last few months.
Gunner likes the Thunder. I don't know if he still roots for him, though, after they've broken up the band. They've lost everyone on that team now. They're a lot different. No more Westbrook.
And we're supposed to also have before him Brian Baumgartner, who people will remember as Kevin Malone from The Office, talking about his new project coming out. And I believe he's a big Cardinals baseball fan.
Isn't he a funny guy?
He's a funny dude. He was, you know, like the village idiot of The Office in that series.
God, so we're going to have Craig on from Animal Kingdom on Monday night. What's wrong with you, bro? Dude, it's your nephew, man. You can't even say hi to your own nephew? Bruh. Guy's awesome. Meanwhile, he's English in real life. There's no such thing as real life when you're on Animal Kingdom. I believe the actual character is...
Well, F. Murray, him and your boy, it's also in Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah.
Finn Cole is also from...
Finn Cole.
And then our boy that plays Darren that we had on last year is from Jersey. So no one's really from out there on that show.
No, but they sure seem like they are, don't they?
Down. Just like when Charlie Hunnam was playing Jax on Sons of Anarchy, another British guy playing a Cali guy.
Do you think that they'll is that a show picked up for another season for sure? Animal Kingdom?
Animal Kingdom, yeah, they have been picked up for season 5 already.
Season 5?
That's what it will be.
Is that what it is, really?
Well, it's 4 right now, so yeah, next year will be 5.
Really?
Yeah.
So they've already picked it up?
They have.
That is just fantastic news.
I believe halfway through the season they did that.
I love that show. In fact... I wish I lived, like, in that show.
It's going to be a lot different next year, that's for sure.
Maybe I could be, like, next-door neighbors to Craig right there on the Strand. And aren't they playing like they're in Oceanside? And and I could live right there and I could sell weed.
Why not? I mean, that's a great piece of property they got there for that, right. That bit where he's staying.
How great is that?
Baz's old house.
Oh, God. And so Craig lives in Baz's house, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Do you think that his girlfriend's going to end up in jail?
Probably.
She's going to get popped for selling blow? It's unbelievable. Carver High has no idea what we're talking about right now. He's still trying to figure out the Dale Jr. airplane crash.
Never seen one episode.
Never seen one episode.
One episode.
I'm very disappointed in your lack of quality entertainment that we've afforded you. We've told you this is a great show that you could catch up on demand. I think you'd like it. Then again, Carver High's not a big fan of surfing, it would appear to me, or Southern California. Although, are you going to – who's going to Southern California with me? Who's going to L.A.? You're going to L.A. with me to the fight? How about that? Now, have you been out there with me before to Southern California?
I've never been to L.A.
Well, now, we're going to be cracking that little egg, a little rookie trip out to Lipstick City. Virgin Exchange out to Lipstick City, your first trip. Are you nervous?
Not particularly.
Not nervous. We're going to see some good fights. Plus, your boy, the Ghost, Guerrero, is fighting.
Yeah,
I like that
I
guy.
Learned after this one that we were just at, I don't need to see any of those other fights besides the main event.
Just the main event's all that matters.
Yeah, that's it.
But the Ghost puts on good fights. Mafia's seen him.
I mean, it is cool being as close as you are and watching the fights.
We're going to talk to Kyle Goon next from the Southern Cali News Group about Boogie Cousins blowing out his left ACL this week, and he's headed for surgery and season ending for a year. He's going to have to rehab that knee.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4, CBS, the number to get on the bench. Our buddy Kyle Goon from the Southern Cali News Group is with us on the bench, coming up here in a second to talk about the Boogie Cousins injury. Let's go to Rod in Oregon first. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Hey.
Can I get a Jameson on the rocks?
J-Mo rocks. I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Mariners playing Tampa Bay the other night, and Tampa Bay had this guy that was just rocking the Mariners. He went 8 2/3, and then the manager pulled him. Nobody on base. They just pulled him to bring a guy in. I mean, how do you hold a team together when you do that crap? So.
Yeah, I don't know. That's amazing that you remembered it. Like, it's that important. Not that I'm not slamming you or anything. I'm just saying, like, that's unbelievable that you're even bringing it up. Like, their season's over. Who cares? Seriously, what they do. I mean, honestly. They won tonight. Congratulations. You'll feel better about yourself. I'm not even being mean. Am I, like, really? Like, who cares if the guy didn't finish the game? I mean, he did a great job. He gets paid a lot of money. I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure he'll get over it. If not, he can quit, you know, and do something else for a living. When you're a reliever in Major League Baseball and a manager comes out, give him the ball and go hit the showers and have a beer. Here we go. Kyle Goon from the Southern Cali News Group. How you been, Kyle?
Good. How you doing, man?
Hey, dude. So how is it that if this guy had I don't even know what you call it. If he doesn't have the worst luck of anyone I've ever seen in the NBA of late. There's no one. I guess I would compare him to, like, what, Greg Oden with his all of his foot injuries and all of his problems that he never amounted to a hill of beans.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, and obviously I'm not a medical professional, but, you know, all these areas are connected, right? I mean, from your back on down to your ankles.
Right.
And when you rupture an Achilles, I mean, it's so difficult to find the right balance of rehab and kind of testing it and getting that back. And when you look at somebody like DeMarcus Cousins, who's 6'11", you know, 260-some pounds, I think it's just difficult to kind of get that set in the right way and get that set. I mean, you know, who knows exactly how sort of this injury, why it happened, if it was the collision on the court that made it happen. But I think in general, it's just tricky with big guys when you start even one injury in that chain from your ankles to your back. It's just tricky to kind of get all the way healthy again.
You know, it's weird because Kyle Gunn with us, I said that at the beginning of the show tonight that, you know, I talked about how, because I play basketball every day of my life, and how like a calf can, like a torn calf can lead to a torn Achilles, or a torn calf can lead to knee problems, and that all of those muscles from like your plantar fascia to your Achilles all the way up through your calf and into your knees and your tibia plateau, all of those muscles and bones are all part of a system, if you will, that work together. And when one of them blows, all of them can start having problems. And guys sometimes never get their wheels back ever.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously DeMarcus Cousins is just 29 years old. I think there's a lot of hope. I think the last, you know, 2 years or so have made him easy to root for. Just when you kind of see everything he's done, and even in this summer, you know, Lakers coaches were visiting. I heard Jason Kidd was visiting Vegas 2 weeks ago and saw him working out and thought he looked great. And just all the work he had done. I mean, he told us when he signed with the Lakers, I want to be 100% healthy. I want to play in every game. It's just heartbreaking to see that level of work and effort just reset and having that kind of setback.
You know, he was playing like pickup ball in the Bahamas a couple weeks ago, and then this whole thing went down. He looked good. He looked thin. He looked like he was really ripped and working out, and he was in shape. This happened in Las Vegas. What happened? And what happened when it happened? And where did he go? And like, when is he having? Do you know anything about like the surgery and everything?
Yeah, they're still trying to figure out when that's going to be. I mean, I would expect, you know, in the next week or two is the timeline for that. And then, you know, the recovery, it could be anywhere from 9 months to 12 months. So it's speculated that it happened on Monday. I think there's some video speculating that this is when this happened, where he banged knees with somebody else on the court in Vegas, had to leave. And then, you know, today it sort of picked up concern when they thought maybe this could be a serious injury. And finally, the Lakers doctors kind of confirmed it this afternoon that he had a torn ACL. And, you know, we were there for USA basketball at the Lakers facility today. I was able to talk to some folks in the organization, and they're heartbroken. You know, it's not so much of an investment that the Lakers made. I mean, he has a one-year deal. It's like $3.5 million. It's not a huge – it wasn't a huge risk for them to kind of take a look at him and see what he could do to elevate this team. But I think in general, the consensus is, hey, this is a guy we were rooting for, a guy that we thought could elevate us to another level.
So Kyle Gunn with the Southern Cali News Group. So everyone's reaching out, Steve Kerr, everybody, all these guys, Draymond Green, teammates, et cetera. Obviously, a lot of the Lakers, everybody's devastated like you talked about. But in reality, it is what it is. What are they going to do about it? Is it Davis more at center, McGee? What is the plan now without this guy? Because if he was this piece that was going to be so valuable, now that they've lost him, it does change things.
Yeah, and I think initially that what they're going to look at is probably more minutes for JaVale McGee. And I think he was signed for this precise reason, so he can be, you know, a starter at the center position. Ultimately, I think the Lakers have a bigger job of convincing Anthony Davis that, hey, our best look is going to be when you play center and when you are our big guy. I mean, when you look at the way the NBA is going, when you look at what Anthony Davis can do defensively, and you look at the fit with what the Lakers want to do and where their shooters are, I mean, I think overall the best lineup for them is going to be with Anthony Davis at the five. It's just a matter of convincing him because it's a definitely a more physical role for him, more physical than he wants to play. He said that he wants to be a power forward, and he'd prefer not to play the five. But I think it will just be a year-long job for the Lakers to kind of convince him, hey, this might be our best look when you're our starting five and we can play Kyle Kuzma next to you.
Yeah, please. This guy, are you kidding me? With all of the drama that went on getting him there, now that he's there, bro, you're the five, okay? So let's go and you be Shaq and Wilt Chamberlain here, and let's stop crying about wanting to be a power forward. He's about as much a power forward as I am. He's honestly a center. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, well, I think that your argument definitely has some validity, but the issue for the Lakers is the leverage Anthony Davis has. So obviously they traded so much of their future to get him. They're going to be sending New Orleans draft picks for years and years. But what in reality, all they have is 1 year of Anthony Davis under contract. So this is also a year-long recruiting effort for them to make sure that all that trade value that they sent is worth it and that Anthony Davis re-signs in L.A. I think everyone expects him to re-sign in L.A., but as we saw with Kyrie Irving and what happened last year in Boston, unexpected things can happen in this league. And so I think it is a tricky balancing act for the Lakers to say, hey, we want you to play some more five. We think we can be successful with you playing the five. At the same time, convincing Anthony Davis that the Lakers have his best interests long-term at heart and are willing to play him some power forward so they can re-sign him next summer.
I want to see where would he go besides, down if he went somewhere else. Where's he going to go if he's not happy with the Lakers? Where would he go play? Seriously. And I mean, honestly,
it's too early to say that. And I definitely think the Lakers are the clubhouse favorites. That being said, I mean, I'm sure he's looking at other big markets and New York is obviously going to want.
Please, here we go.
But that being said, I think the Lakers are definitely the clubhouse favorites to re-sign him, but he definitely has leverage in trying to get what he wants out of L.A. for the next year.
Did you even hear, Kevin Durant, when they asked him about playing for the Knicks? He said he never even considered it. I don't think there's one guy in the league. The only reason to play for the Knicks at all is the paycheck. There's no one that wants to play for them at all. And they don't care about R.J. Barrett either.
Yeah, and I guess all indications are that, perhaps maybe the Knicks self-sabotaged a little bit by letting it be known that how much they wanted KD, and it kind of became its own sideshow for a couple months in Golden State. And I think that was, even though I'm sure it's flattering anytime you're courted by a team, I think that seemed to end up being a little bit more trouble than it was worth for KD and the Warriors to kind of go through, hey, is KD going to the Knicks? Is KD going to the Knicks for, 4 or 5 months? I think that was a lot of strain.
I'll tell you what, great stuff tonight, Kyle, on DeMarcus Cousins tearing his left ACL. Tough injury for a guy that's been through hell and back, and now he's going back to hell again. At least 9 to 12 months of rehab. Kyle, thanks for coming on the bench. We'll catch up soon.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Appreciate you, man.
All right, Kyle Goon of the Southern Cali News Group.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I was looking at the SEC stuff, right? And I was there was a USA Today Sports did a feature on Jake Fromm. Right, the Georgia quarterback, and as the Bulldogs, everybody keeps talking about how they're closing the gap on Alabama, right? That the Georgia's the team, and some people think LSU, et cetera, right? So you know, the odds to win the SEC are Bama at 1-2, Georgia 2-1, Auburn 8-1, then Florida 10-1, LSU 10-1, and then everybody else has no chance, basically, according to those that think they know. But here's the deal. Carver, how do you think that Jake Fromm, after Georgia blew two double-digit leads against Alabama the last 2 years, that this is the guy that'll get it done, finally, that he can do it? Or is he going to spend his whole career in Athens losing to Alabama?
Until they beat them, I don't believe that they can. It's just that simple. The way they've lost them the last couple of years, you got to go show me at this point.
So you're willing to give them basically that no one's beating Alabama, even a team that had them by double digits, but you're willing to say that Michigan will beat Ohio State this year?
It's a different situation.
So explain that.
Well, Alabama's Alabama. And that's that. That's pretty much where that goes. Alabama and Clemson are here, and everybody else is everywhere else.
Right.
Ohio State has a new coach this year.
So they're at 5-6.
New team. But they're for what we know right now, an inflated 5-6.
Right.
Because we don't know what they are. They have a lot of new things.
Do you think that Ohio State's inflated, or that Michigan and Ohio State are inflated? Because I think Ohio State, Michigan's
both,
loaded with Shea Patterson.
I think they're both inflated, but if Ohio State comes out this year and they destroy everybody and they're 11-0 going into the Michigan game,
right?
Fine, they'll probably
then you'll
beat
take
them.
Ohio State.
But if they're 9-2 or 8-3 and they're not having an Ohio State type of year, this could be the year that Michigan beats them. I don't know until they get to that point because there's too many new factors involved in this Ohio State season. There's just too many for me.
And Mafia, do you think Jake Fromm can do it? Can he actually beat Alabama in the SEC championship game if they get there and then win a national championship?
No. I think if last year coming into it, maybe I would have given him more of a chance because of, you know, kind of wiping out the first one, saying, you know what, it happens, he was young, you learn, you figure out how to do it next time around. But doing it twice in a row, then now you got to prove it to me. Just like Carver said, I'm not believing into you until you show me. Same thing like you talk about with the Browns all the time. Your history is you choke. So the history of Georgia right now, the short history under this kid is that they do good against Alabama and then choke. So until you show me different, that's what I'm believing.
So this kid, obviously he's getting a massive amount of attention from, and now he's got his chance to get it done for Georgia. Have we not been waiting for Georgia to win a national championship forever? Has that not been the case? It literally has been forever. Has it not? And then Kirby Smart's doing a great job down there. I wouldn't deny that. I think he's done a really nice job in Athens. Do you think he's done a better job there? It's pretty obvious than Mark Richt did.
1,000%.
I'm still, you know, trying to recover from the whole Mark Richt fallout, to be honest with you. When he went down to Miami and Coral Gables, I was pretty stoked. I'm like, you know, I can live with this. I could see this working for a while. I think he'll do a great job with the Canes. I'm a big Canes fan. And that he was gone that quickly stunned me. But this guy, Kirby Smart, has replaced him and done a great job in Athens. But, there's nothing that guy wants more than a national championship. That's why he's there. He's not there to finish in the SEC championship game every year losing to Alabama. I can guarantee you that. It's probably driving Kirby Smart nuts. The question begs, can LSU or A&M, even Florida, Auburn, can they hang with Alabama and Georgia in this conference? I think LSU can. I like Joe Burrow. I think he's tough as hell. And I think Jimbo is going to do a good job in College Station. Carver, how do you think that Jimbo Fisher actually has better talent at College Station than he had in Tallahassee? Because I think it's hard for me to actually believe that. Not really hard, but I think that there's some trepidation in saying, oh, they get better athletes at A&M than they do at Florida State. Now, at Florida State, when he was there, when he coached the Noles, right, they were still, in my view, at the peak of getting just incredible recruiting classes. They had great talent at Florida State. If you ask me, they were getting better athletes there than any school in Florida.
I mean, for me, he's got to win a national title there for me to even put it there, because he won one at Florida State. He won a national title there.
Right.
So unless he does that at Texas A&M, then he's not. I don't care.
But do you think that he's up to the challenge of, you know, being where he is? Because, you know, obviously it's a lot different in the ACC that this monster that he's up against in the SEC of coaching, this is the ultimate challenge, I think, for him.
He's got, I don't see them winning there. I just
not a national championship.
No, I think it's – until I see a decline in the Alabama program, I'm just not gonna believe it.
Like, how about this? They have to play Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia this year.
They have probably the hardest schedule. If you've just taken those three games.
I mean.
That's just.
Are all three of those games, it would appear to me, would be losses?
I mean, look, they almost had Clemson last year at home. This year they have to go there. Yeah, look.
How do you think Kelly Bryant will do at Missouri? The kid that left Clemson.
I don't think
no ring.
I don't think Missouri's that great.
I don't either. But do you think he can make them better? Do you think that they could be better than Drew Locke?
Yes.
I mean, because that guy got a lot of attention for basically doing nothing in Columbia.
Yeah, I think that they'll be better this year than they were last year.
And didn't he start like with Denver or something? And he's just been atrocious so far in the preseason throwing the football. Locke.
He's not gonna play.
I know he's not going to play, but he got a lot of attention at Missouri for, you know, as a quarterback in that draft. He got a lot of attention, and then he so far it hasn't gone well. I could be wrong, but I think it has not gone well early. I know he
fell into the second round. I don't think that – I get it. You take a guy in the second round, you're eventually going to want him to play, but he's not at the class of these other guys that got taken.
Can you imagine being Mississippi – I mean, like Mississippi State, Tennessee, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Vandy in this conference? Like, can you imagine trying to survive and with those dogs? Like, the you know, the top of that conference, you know, the best teams from the haves to the have-nots is like two different worlds. It's like going across this, you know, the pond. I mean, they're living on this side, and the other side is all the have-nots. It's just, it is so wide, the gap. It's not even funny.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of those teams used to be stronger, and that's why we're the SEC in the past 10 to 15 years really built that aura as
right.
the best conference in college football, because
right.
not only did you have the Alabamas and the and then, you know, the Floridas and all those. Now Georgia's kind of stepped up and taken over that Florida spot as the other great team in that conference. But the other middle teams were still really, really good teams and could give you, you know, were top 25 programs. And now they've all kind of slipped down a little bit. It wasn't a great year for them last year, aside from Georgia.
Carver High, are you working under protest tonight with your boy in there just hacking away? Just
a couple days,
listen, look at him. He's just a mess. We may have to send him back to the shelf tomorrow. He may have to go back on under the knife. He literally, Mafi, I don't know about you, dude. I'm worried about you. See what happens when you get engaged? Look at this guy. He literally has bubonic plague. You sound worse now than you did on Monday.
It always gets worse at the end.
Jesus, says who?
Everyone.
Whatever. Look at him. He's a mess. He can't even get through it. He wants to jump out a building window. He's so sick. Oh, it's not funny, though. I'm not laughing at you. I don't want any part of that, dude. I don't want any part of that. I'm having surgery Monday morning at 7 a.m. Just so everyone can grasp the gravity of the situation. On Sunday, I'm going to be drinking the, as you know, the fire hose remedy. Have you ever had the fire hose remedy? That's when you drink the two bottles of the fire hose and then you spend like 3-4 hours on the toilet. I mean, it is just clean house time. I mean, I am going to go. What do they call that, Mafia? What did Robin used to do? She did a cleansing. I'm having a cleansing on Sunday. Sunday, I'm going to spend my day cleansing and losing every ounce of anything in my stomach. It's all coming out, and then I'm having surgery first thing Monday morning. Carver High wants no part of this conversation. He is unwilling, as you know, at this stage of life, to start getting prostate, PSAs, or colon tests.
Next year, I start getting in the mix for that stuff.
Are you 39 now?
Yeah.
Jesus, Carver High, the pressure you've been under. I saw your boy Mraz. Did he sign his first house documents?
I believe he did, yes.
Big move for the Mrazer. He bought a house.
Yeah, like 2 blocks away from his parents' house. You know?
Oh, God. Everybody loves Raymond.
Big move.
So wait a minute. He's moving next door to his...
Well, he's been living next door to his parents' house. They had an apartment like 3 houses down from his parents.
Is that right? So he lived in an apartment 3 houses down, and now he's bought a house next door to him?
Not next door, but it's like 5 minutes away. Like,
a block away?
It's close.
Well, you know what you do in that situation. Does he have kids yet?
No.
So if he has kids, then they would be full-time babysitters.
There's one on the way.
Is she pregnant?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The Mrazer is under a tremendous strain. He's buying houses, having babies. It sounds like you two guys.
His life's about to change.
Mafia told me last weekend when he was drunk on scotch at his engagement party that he plans on having 5 more children. Each hour that went by and he drank more scotch, he was like, I'll have another. And I was like, racking up kids. He told me, he goes, I want to have more kids. So every time he had a glass, he goes, I'd have another. And I would scrape down on the wall of the side of his garage another baby. And then I kept saying, boy or girl, and he'd just say, get me another. And I think what he meant was the scotch. I could have been wrong. But it turns out it was the scotch. He wanted more scotch and not more babies. Although he has admitted he wants a bigger family, he did predicate that he wanted more scotch first. Or that he's going to need scotch when he has a bigger family to deal with it.
One often leads to another, right?
It's true. Mason Rudolph will start at quarterback on Saturday for your Pittsburgh Steelers against the Kansas City Chiefs in a game filled with felons at Heinz Field, which will be changed the name of that 3 years from now to Allegiant Field, the airline out of Las Vegas sponsoring the Raiders now. I'm just kidding. We got another hour to go in the Blue Lagoon on the bench.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.